friends, I already have tears, so I don't know how I'm going to get through this day, but it's going to be great. I'm excited. So I don't know about you, but I am loving our current sermon series. I mean, I love our sermon series, but this one is pretty cool. It's called Surprise, Signs and Wonders from Our Unpredictable God. And in this series, we have been exploring the book of Acts, and we have encountered many surprises and signs of the Lord already, but the series isn't over. The purpose of the book of Acts is to provide an account of which Jesus continued to do good works even after he had physically left the earth. He continued to do this work through his church using the Holy Spirit. Our text this week is, again, like last week, about the disciple Peter. As we have seen in other parts of Acts, God is using this same Peter, the same Peter that in the Gospels denied Christ three times. God is using him. He reinstated Peter and is using him to further the mission of the church. This is proof, full proof, that God never, ever gives up on people. And to understand our passage today, we have to look back at a second to a promise that God made in the Old Testament. As maybe the confirmation students will tell you, I love the Old Testament. I love the Bible. I get very excited about the Bible, so I never miss an opportunity to go back to the Old Testament to see what God is doing now and how he is fulfilling his promises that he spoke long ago. So in the book of Genesis, there is a man named Abraham, and God made a covenant with Abraham in the first book of the Bible, Genesis chapter 12. In that covenant, God said, I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all people on the earth will be blessed through you. The key words for our text today that we're going to read from Acts is all people of the earth will be blessed. Even in the very beginning, God's promise was not only reserved for the Jewish people like Abraham, but God's promises were for all the people of the earth. In chapter 10 of Acts, God convinced Peter that he should open his hearts and the doors of the church to Gentiles. Now, Gentiles are non-Jewish people. Now, Peter, in our text from today, the next chapter, chapter 11, must convince the other leaders of the church that he has done the right thing. Peter will be faced with confrontation from his Jewish peers about associating with the Gentiles. But as we'll see in the text, Peter is confident that God plans to welcome everyone into the kingdom. So let's hear now how Peter responds to the Spirit's nudge to interact with people that are very different from him and share very different beliefs than him, and how he is confronted by his peers. Hear now the word of the Lord from Acts chapter 11, verses 1 through 18. The apostles and the believers throughout Judea heard that the Gentiles also had received the word of God. So when Peter went up to Jerusalem, the circumcised believers criticized him and said, "You went to the house of uncircumcised men and ate with them?" Starting from the very beginning, Peter told them the whole story. "I was in the city of Joppa praying, and in a trance I saw a vision. I saw something like a large sheet being let down from heaven, and by its four corners, it came down to where I was. I looked into it, and I saw four-footed animals of the earth, wild beasts, reptiles, and birds. Then I heard a voice telling me, 'Get up, Peter, kill and eat.' I replied, 'Surely not, Lord. Nothing impure or unclean has ever touched my mouth.' The voice spoke again from heaven a second time, 'Do not call anything impure that God has made clean.' This happened three times, and it was all pulled up to heaven again. Right then, three men who had been sent to me from Caesarea stopped at the house where I was staying. The Spirit told me to have no hesitation about going with them. These six brothers also went with me, and we entered the man's house. He told us how he seen an angel appear in his house and said, 'Send to Joppa for Simon, who is called Peter. He will bring you a message through which you and all of your household will be saved. As I began to speak, the Holy Spirit came on them as he has come on us at the beginning. Then I remembered what the Lord had said, John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. So if God gave the same Spirit, he gave to us who believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, who was I to think that I could stand in God's way? When they heard this, they had no further objections and praised God, saying, so even the Gentiles, God has granted repentance that leads to life. Here ends our reading. For the word of God in Scripture, for the word of God among us, and for the word of God within us. Thanks be to God. Our middle hymn is titled, Come All Sinners Poor and Needy. It's in the green hymnal for you in the sanctuary. And for those of you worshiping at home, you will find those lyrics dropping into the comments down below. Let's join together in song to worship our God. Friends, you may be seated. Will you please join with me in a spirit of prayer? Holy God, whose kingdom reaches all people, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O God, our rock and redeemer. Amen. I missed you all last weekend. I was not here. I was actually up in Maine with my family, and they were right there. Hi, family. And I had a great time with them. It's great being back in New England that I get to come home more than twice a year and love spending time with them. Last Saturday, my two-year-old niece, Kenley, I didn't know she was going to be here today, but I'm talking about you. There she is. Hi, Kenley. Last Saturday, I got to spend the day with my mom and my two-year-old niece, Kenley, and we had a full day of fun together. Kenley is very smart, and she's at an age right now where she's discovering new ways of doing things and figuring out how to put her own spin on things. So, for example, she showed me how she puts on her jacket, and she does a trick. Kenley has discovered it takes too long to put in one arm at a time with her jacket. So what she does is she lays out her jacket on the floor, flips it over her so that both arms go in at the same time. That's very smart, Kenley, that you're able to do that. So she's not bottled down by the old ways that people do things. She wants to forge her own path. Along with being inventive, I also learned that she isn't afraid to change the rules, specifically with games. We were tossing a ball back and forth, and it was all fun. She screamed at me to go get the said ball, and when I went to run to get the ball, she would scream at me again to stop and not touch the ball. In the middle of the game, I finally had to yell back at her, "I don't understand your rules. What is going on here?" She just smiled and laughed and continued to make up the game as we went along. And because she is adorable, I too just went along with it. I mean, look at her. You can't. Yeah. Kenley isn't afraid to change the rules and try new ways of doing things. In the same way that Kenley is fearless and determined to try new things, so is our God. Our God changes the rules and tries new things to expand the kingdom. The proof of that was in our text today. And God changes some rules because nothing can stop God from reaching people. Nothing can stop God from reaching people. The first way that God shows up in this passage is through the Spirit giving the disciple Peter a vision. After Peter is confronted by his fellow Jewish leaders about how he shared a meal with the uncircumcised or non-Jewish people, he goes into defense mode and explains in great detail why he went into these people's house. In the book of Acts, the public sharing of personal experiences with God is vital to the ongoing proclamation of the good news. It's all about sharing. So Peter shares to the group how God showed up in a powerful way and gave him a vision that included wild beasts, reptiles, and birds. No bears, though. So God's vision tells Peter to eat these things. Now, I'm sure Peter was shocked by this because he was Jewish and he followed the Jewish law of eating kosher. Wild beasts, reptiles, and the birds described here are not kosher. God was calling Peter to break the rules. Now, me as an avid rule follower, this is very shocking to me. This must have been very confusing to Peter as well. From the time he was a little child to when he went through his bar mitzvah, he memorized Torah, he knew scripture like the back of his hand, and he knew what to eat and what not to eat. And here God is showing up one day and changing everything he knows and flipping his world upside down. It would be like a parent telling a child they can't have candy for dinner every night, and then one day out of the blue, they just give the child a big bowl of Skittles and say, "Here you go, here's your dinner." The child would be very happy, I'm sure, because their diet is now expanded to what they wanted to eat, but I'm sure a part of them would be a little shocked. This rule and what they have been longing for so long and told no is now possible. What is going on? What is God doing with Peter here in the scripture text? Why is God changing the rules? Well, friends, I think the rules are being changed to be a symbol, to allow all people to enter the kingdom. The animals actually represent people. People now being considered clean and worthy of the kingdom. People just as they are, not having to change anything to be considered a part of the kingdom. Peter then has the opportunity to put this vision into action when he is approached by three men who are not Jewish. The Spirit told Peter to have no hesitation about going with them into the home. The man who invited Peter to dinner told him about a similar vision that he had as well. In the man's vision, an angel told him to send for Peter and his whole household would be saved. This man had faith and trust and listened to God and did exactly what God said. It was at that moment that the Spirit once again surprised Peter and came onto him and reminded him that God's word said that Jesus baptized with the Spirit. And Peter saw the Spirit upon this man who was not Jewish himself, but Peter could recognize the Spirit was there. The rules have changed, and God provided proof for the rule change. Peter realizes, who is he to stand in God's way? The Spirit is upon this man, and that's an exciting and incredible thing. God's kingdom is expanding, and it's for everyone. So Peter confirms this man's salvation. Nothing can stop God from reaching people. A book I'm reading right now is called No Perfect People Allowed, Creating a Come-as-You-Are Culture in the Church. It's by a pastor named John Burke. Burke's opening sentence of the book is this: what does a Buddhist, a biker couple, a gay rights activist, a transient, a high-tech engineer, a Muslim, a 20-something single mom, a Jew, a couple living together, an atheist all have in common? They are the future church of America. End quote. I think this quote gets right at the heart of what this passage is about. The kingdom of God is now open for all people, and that means God's vision of the church is diverse for all people to come just as they are. Who are we to limit the Spirit's power and the Spirit's calling of people who gather in the Lord's church? This is the gospel in action. Our welcome is the gospel. This week, I was asked by someone in these dark times with the dark news cycle, what brings you hope? And my response was, what brings me hope is the students in my confirmation class. I explained to this person that oftentimes I think people look down on the next generation. I think you're called Gen Z, I'm not sure, because they do a lot of things different. They think different. But for the past 4 months, I've been able to witness in confirmation class the depth of thought that this group of students has. I've been able to see their faith and their desire for equality and inclusion, and that's the Spirit at work through them. This group of students is so creative. I mean, look at what they created down here on our communion table. This was their final project this year. I did away with the paper, and I wanted to see how they could express their faith in art. And look at what they made. It's incredible. This is what I've learned from these students, that their creative power and energy, this is what they're bringing to our church, and I think it's amazing. This is what gets me excited for the future. Regan, Joe, Kate, Allie, David, Gavin, Stephen, your voice matters in this community. Your ideas that you will bring with you matter. We are stronger because of you all. You all give us a new perspective. Rules and traditions can be changed. And God did this with Peter. He's also going to do this through you, to change our world and to change our church. As a church, we need you and welcome your perspective to help bring new ideas on how to reach people in our community. Teenagers are not the church of tomorrow, but the church of right now. And that's what gets me excited. That's what gets me up in the morning. That's why I was so excited about confirmation class. This is our future right now. You see, without the contribution of every person of every age group, gender, ethnicity, and stage of life, the church does not radiate her full splendor as the bride of Christ. Your ideas for change help us radiate brighter. So never forget that. And to all of us, the congregation, the challenge for us is to be open and listening to their ideas. We may not always agree. That's part of it, what it means to be in community. It can get messy. doing life together is difficult. It's challenging. Their ideas may challenge us. Their ideas may be different than what we're used to. But good things come when we are open to new things. God used Peter to try something new, to break the rules. And look at what we have now. We are all in this church because of that. To come just as we are and to be validated and confirmed by God, knowing that because of what God did through Peter. And because Peter listened, we are here today as the church. The Jewish leaders were skeptical of Peter's actions, but were able to see that those changes were good and holy. God breathed changes. In the same way, let us have ears to listen to these confirmands as they share their ideas and passions with all of us. We are one body of Christ, and that means we all have to work together to serve God as best as we can. We're not called to be perfect, right? Remember, no perfect people allowed, but we try to do the best we can to be one body. So let us not be afraid of change and new ideas, because nothing can stop God from reaching people. Amen.